Richard, thank you. Thank you for getting us here. It's been a little bit of a journey, but I'm so grateful for these ladies and just for the platform and the opportunity to talk about you, about what you've done in our lives, about what you're doing in our lives, what you're going to do in our lives. Pray that more than anything else, Father, that our conversations would point people to you, that they would be rich and real and honest and transparent and vulnerable, and that we would be obedient to the prickling that you lay on our heart for whatever the topic is, whatever the words are, that they would be more of you, Father, less of us. Lead us out over the next hour. Help us to stay on topic. Help our technology. Help our internet. I thank you for these ladies. I can't wait to see what you're going to do here. It's in your name. Amen. Okay, welcome to the Take Up Your Mat podcast. We are so glad that you're here. My name is Jen, and I am talking to you from right outside of Dayton, Ohio, a little town called Beaver Creek. Since this is our first episode together, we're going to take a little bit of time to just get to know one another and really dig into what this podcast is all about. Take up your mat, walking out our purpose and practice together. So what does that mean? And who are we to be coming to you? So let's jump right in with just some introductions and answer our first question, which is, what does it mean to take up your mat?
My name is Mia, and I am in Surfside Beach, Texas. And I guarantee my weather is much better than the other people on this call. But take up your mat to me is, because two different renditions or two different times when the Lord is saying that, it's a direct, what's the word I'm looking for? Where, not direct advice, but where he's not flowery. He's not giving us lots of things to do. It's short and sweet. Just do it. Just do it. And so often we get stuck in the minutiae of things. And it's just a really good reminder to me to trust in the Lord and just do it.
That's good. Yeah, I'm Megan, also from Dayton, Ohio. And for me, take up your mat means take your healing with you. Mm-hmm. So when
so good.
Jesus tells the paralyzed man to take your mat, I imagine him. He gets up, he takes his mat, and he is walking through the streets with a smile on his face, and he's like confident and bold in this new like healing that he has. And in Matthew, it says that Jesus gave him authority. So to take up your mat is like, take my healing with me that Jesus just did for me in my practice, and like walk in that authority, walk in that confidence.
So good. Hello, everybody. My name is Kelsey Zahn Melton. I live currently in Holland, Michigan. I recently moved here from Los Angeles, and so I'm missing my good weather, Mia.
I know.
I'm really missing that sunshine these days.
I feel like I'm superior right now, and I have nothing to do with it.
It's okay. It's fine. But take up your mat to me. It's interesting because I also went to the man at the pool, and when I was reading that story, I really was captivated by how Jesus asks the man if he wants to be healed. And the man gives him a laundry list of reasons why he hasn't been, right? Yeah. Like, everybody gets in the pool before me, blah, blah, blah. I don't have anybody to put me in. And Jesus is like, cool, that's not what I asked you. Could you just pick up your mat and walk, please? You know, like, he's not that rude, but you know what I'm saying. And the man in that moment has a choice, and he can either stick with his old stories of everybody gets in the pool before me, healing isn't for me. Like, can you imagine laying there for 38 years and like having every reason to believe like I will never be well, and then this rando comes up to you and is like, would you please stand up, roll up your little mat and walk? And he has a choice to either believe his old stories or believe the new story. And he chooses the new story. And I think that that piece for me was what really stood out, because it's so easy to just stay in our old stories rather than choose the new thing that Jesus wants to offer us, the new identity, the new purpose, the new, just the new story. And it's so easy to believe the old ones. So that's what I was really struck by when I was meditating over that question this week.
That's good.
So good.
It's so easy to just get dependent on those that are passing you by versus the one.
Yeah. As I studied scripture about taking up your mat and mats, and I rabbit trailed because I found it must have been some reference somewhere that went from mat to a threshing floor. And I was like, what? I don't know if I really know what a threshing floor is. And so there are like dozens of references in scripture to a threshing floor, some being like very literal and I think some figurative. But the threshing floor in scripture is a place of separation and revelation. So it's a place where the harvest was prepared by separating the grain from the like useless straw. And it was done for the purpose of exposing and collecting the most valuable parts of the crop.
So good.
And I loved that because I was like, man, like, I feel like our mat is where, when we look at the story of the paralytic in Matthew 2, like that's where our testimony is formed. Like, it's where our hardest times are. It's for that man, certainly, right? But like, it's where we do our work. It's where we're most vulnerable. It's where God meets us. It's where we come as simply and honestly as we can manage. Like, there on this like threshing floor where we feel sometimes like super exposed, but for a purpose. I loved that, like, in the scripture, like, the mat was this guy's, that's where his brokenness was like so evident, like his friends like carrying him in, right? Like that's where his ailment was, like it was on his mat. And it's also where Jesus healed him. Like, he didn't say like, get up and then you'll be healed. He was like right here in the midst of the thing that is your brokenness, like the thing that is hurting, like right there in the midst of it, that's where I'm going to heal you. And then you can get up and go. And I loved that. I was like, it was in his mat, like where his testimony was formed. Like, that's when like the story of his life, the plot shifted. Oh. And I loved that. I was like, that's our testimony. That is our story, what you guys said. I heard a pastor one time a couple years ago say that the gospel came to you on its way through you. And I love that, because as difficult and as hard as some things in life are, we can know that hard doesn't always mean bad. We can know that when we discover things for ourselves, like when we walk out that testimony, we come out the other side and we know it better than anybody, right? Like, you've walked through something and you're like, listen, I know this thing because I've been there. Our personal discovery leads to our convictions. Like, the things that we're most strongly convicted in are often stuff that we walked through. Like, don't you believe this guy is like going back home and he's like, I have been there. I have been in the pit where my friends had to carry me broken on the mat. And I look at where I am now. Like, that just like powerful testimony, right? That was the biggest part. I pulled from that.
I have really smart friends, really deep friends.
Jen, what you were saying just reminded me of something I heard. I think it was Bill Johnson or someone who is very smart, who's been around the block, say, which is that whatever you have, I'm trying to remember how he said it, whatever you have overcome in your life, you have authority in. And then he talked about how the word testimony in the original Hebrew means to do again. So when you tell your testimony, you are actually releasing the power of God into the world to do that healing, that transformation, that change again. And that's why testimonies are so powerful, is because when someone hears one, they believe like, oh, that could be me. Like, he could do that again for me. And so good. Thank you for sharing that. That. I love
like
that.
Revelation, is it Revelation like 12, sorry if I'm wrong. The verse that like they triumphed over him by the blood of the lamb and the word of their testimony. Like our testimony, it happens to us and it happens through us for the purpose of others. So same thing that you're talking about. I love that. So good. It also goes without saying that like we have all been touched, impacted, transformed in some way through the practice of Christ-centered yoga. We've all kind of met the Lord, certainly in the past, and certainly also continue to meet God through Christ-centered yoga practice. And so I think obviously that had something to do with our name.
Don't you always feel like too, you really crippled before you met God on your yoga mat? I mean, I feel like I was. I feel like I didn't know how crippled I was. But meeting him there and then the deep dives and
Yeah. I definitely thought I was fine until I started Christ-centered yoga. I was like, oh, I am so still way broken.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and I think just the beauty of like he met me there. It is, for me at least, like part of my story with that is just I am a military wife, so I practiced for the first time through holy yoga through a class. And I, as a military wife, like I think Matt was deployed and I had all these little kids were like everywhere in my life. And it was, everything had to be strong. Like everything had to be put together. There was not time. And like, what am I going to like fall apart while my husband's over in a war zone? So like, no, I have to hold it together. I have to be strong. And God equipped me for that. I'm capable of that. But it was in a class with the first time that I felt it was okay to be not.
Okay.
It was
to be
like
not
just
okay.
me on my little, four corners of my mat.
21 square feet, maybe. Yeah.
For that hour, it was okay to just not be strong. Like, and I just fell apart. And then I thought, oh gosh, I have spilled my guts all over this mat. And then I rolled it up and I got back to the normal life. Like I didn't stay a hot mess. But like it was for me, it was that place of this is where the Lord's meeting me in such a profound way that I can be vulnerable and it's okay.
And what you just said, though, I got really vulnerable. I rolled up my mat and went and did my thing.
Yeah.
You know,
it just became this place of like, all right, I like to have everything in order. I like to have control of everything. But in that little space, it continues to be to this day, like just this space where it's like everything else goes away. I've already committed my hour. I can't multitask it away. So I'm here. So I might as well just be here. And that's where God met me. And for a while, and probably, I mean, if I'm honest, like probably still that way a lot. It's just where God's there, but it's where it really has felt like a threshing floor. This like space of like, this is where we're separating the good parts from the bad. Like we're stripping off the stuff that is me to expose the parts of me that are him.
Wow.
And that was a huge part of yoga for me was coming to that. So when I think of take up your mat, it's all of those things. Like it's this is what I learned. I don't just learn it here and keep it here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like I have to pick it up and take it into my kids. I have to take it into my relationship with my husband, into work, into my community. I can't just keep it to myself. Mm-hmm. How unfortunate would that have been, right? If that guy on the mat was like, I think I'm just going to keep this a secret. Or I think I'm just going to lay here on this mat and not get up.
Yeah.
Because it might not work.
And let's be honest, I know at least for me, there's been times I have just laid on my mat, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. when he's told me to get up.
Yeah.
And it's mm-hmm. that matter of free choice, you know, I got mm-hmm. a better way. You can stay here and wallow. How long are you going to wallow? Hopefully you're not going to wallow 38 years. Close.
Mm. All right. So there's a little insight into the name. I think lots of significance there. What about our kind of our like tagline that we have, walking out our purpose and practice together? What does that mean to walk out our purpose and practice together?
I think you have to start with what purpose is. And I think I look at purpose. It's love God, love self, love others. So if I'm on my mat in my practice, and I'm building my relationship with God, and I'm loving him, and in that, I'm learning to view myself the way that he views me so I can love myself, then I can take that, and I can go and share that love and show that Christ-centered love to others.
Okay. I love that there's a couple of different times that the Lord is saying, you know, get off your bed or take up your mat, but when the four people carry him, they can't get through with the paralytic. So they climb to the roof and they tear through the ceiling. And I thought the Chosen really did a great job with that. But what I think about with that is you can have friends and those friends can help get you there. And I want to be the friend. That's when you talk about the purpose. I want to be the friend that's willing to rip off the roof for you, mm-hmm. but I can't heal you, but I can get you to the one. Hopefully I can take you there, but whether you listen to him or not, that's up to you. But I want to be the friend that will rip off the roof and get you there. And then the rest is up to you and him and just pointing the way back. And it's not me. And you know, if you're a yoga teacher, there's people that look to you. And it's the pointing them back to him. They want the answers from you. The answers aren't from me. They're from him.
Now we all know why we're Mia's friend. She's a tear the roof off kind of friend.
I have no nails.
She really is, though.
I think like one of the top things that like the enemy or the world like tries to, I don't know, feed us, make us believe is that we're alone. Like we're the only one. I'm the only one that feels this way. I'm the only one that makes this mistake. I am the only one that has these thoughts or has these concerns or these fears. We feel alone. And the truth is like, we're not like we're not alone, certainly because we have Christ, but like we are more alike than we are different. We just don't talk about it enough. I always tell people that like, I'm the friend that makes you feel better about yourself sometimes. Like, you come to my house. I have three kids at home. We homeschool. Like, we're always in our house. And you guys ever walk into somebody's house and it's like perfect. I have a friend. She has five children and her house is just, it's just beautiful all the time. Like, everything is, do you not live here? Like, and I leave her house and I love her dearly, but like I leave her house being like, man, I gotta go like reorganize my pantry. I gotta get my kids on a new chore system, you know? Like I love her and she loves the Lord and we love her family, but like so I don't mean to say bad about her, but like I laugh and I'm like, I'm the friend that is just gonna make you feel better about your house because there is always laundry laying around somewhere. There are always crumbs in the carpet. It's just the way it is. So I want to own that. Like you come over and it's going to be messy. I hope it won't be too messy. I want to make you feel comfortable. But like, it is what it is. So it's like, once, and people will leave and they'll be like, oh, I feel so much better. Like, I'm not the only one that can't keep a perfectly pristine house with a million kids in and out of my door. Well, of course you can't. Like, you can't do that.
Well, you just brought up something that I think is it too. Being willing to receive, you know, there's no way he could have got to Jesus on his own in that iteration of it. You know, now when he's laying by the pool, Jesus was there, but there was a lot of people around Jesus, and without his friends, he wouldn't have got there. And so many times when you're talking about being alone, and where our culture is all about doing it on your own, to be able to receive, to humble yourself, not just to the Lord, humble yourself to your friends, tell them you need help.
Yeah.
And let them help you.
I think sometimes the world paints a picture that vulnerability is weakness, when really it's a strength.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely.
You guys ever do like meal trains with church or like your community, like somebody's in the hospital or has a baby or something, you're like, oh, let's go feed them. Cause that's just what we do in American culture, right? It's like, we just feed people when it's awkward. Like, oh, your grandpa died, let me send you some food. Like, oh, you had a baby, let me send you some food. You have a cough, let me send you some food. Like, I hate it when people try to send me food whenever I'm like, I was sick a few weeks ago, and my friend was like, I'm bringing you dinner. And I was like, oh, like, you don't need to do that. It's fine. I am the first person to be there to give her dinner. Well, I will DoorDash her something to eat. I don't know if I'm always going to make it for her. Like, it's so easy to give to others, and it's really hard to receive for yourself. And even more hard, Megan, like, to your point, to say, I need help. Mm-hmm. You know what? I do need somebody to cook a meal. Like, I do need this. It's super hard, because, and I don't know why that is. It's just,
I think it's almost a sense of power or a badge of honor for us not to receive from others. And where does that actually get us? What benefit does that serve at all? Who does that serve? Does it serve us for not receiving? Mm-hmm. Does it serve the other person who's trying to give? I mean, who does it actually serve? But yet we think it makes us appear strong, but it's kind of dumb.
I'm good at receiving, but I'm not great at asking.
That's really interesting too.
Mm-hmm. I have to like really be like in the pit for me to ask.
Because again, it goes back to weakness. And here we are, crippled on a mat. That's about as weak as you can get, you know? I wonder if he ever tried to pretend like he's okay on that mat. I'm just getting a tan. I'm okay. I'm just here.
Well, I think it's interesting, though. It like, he didn't ask for healing. I mean, I don't have it pulled up in front of me.
He just resigned himself to that place.
He didn't ask. He did receive, but his friends asked. He was together. Like, he had community. His friends did for him what he could not do for himself. And I think that is the beauty in walking out our purpose and our practice together, is that we sometimes don't even see the things about us that others can see in us. Much less, I mean, if we can't see it, then how are we going to do it? You know, so doing it together means that we're with people that can call us out, call us up, hold us to it, that they're the people that bring us dinner, even when we say we're good. And it, you know, the people that teach us that, you know what, why, to your point, Mia, like, why is it so hard? Why? Is it because I'm afraid that it makes me weak? Like Megan, you were saying, does it make me see? Which is so silly, because my community doesn't think that that's weak. I don't want to inconvenience people. I don't want to be a burden to them.
Right?
Yeah.
But she just convicted me of that his friends, when you were talking, Jen, that he didn't ask, his friends took him, that when we see our friend is struggling, do we just keep on?
Mm-hmm.
Or we, I mean, if we're talking about walking it out together, then noticing when our friend is struggling and not just being stuck in all the events of our day, which I have a huge tendency for. I'll get to that call tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes tomorrow doesn't come, you know, when somebody's struggling.
Or asking, shooting a text message or asking like, oh, let me know if you can do anything. Let me know if I can help you in any way. Let me know if I can do anything for you. Instead of like just being like, you know what? Come on.
Yeah.
Come on, Mia. We're going to go tear off some roofs.
Yeah.
Like,
we're going to go get Megan. We're going to tear off the roof. We're going to go do it. And we don't really care if she says yes or no. We're so offended. Like, we're worried we're going to like push somebody's boundaries or we're going to like make them uncomfortable. Like, you don't think that guy was uncomfortable? Like, imagine him like being carried by his friends on a mat through the crowd up on the roof. I'm pretty sure he was uncomfortable. He was probably like, dude, I'm fine. Just, I don't know what he was like. Maybe he thought it was great, but I know I would be like, oh gosh, you guys are making such a big deal out of this. Who am I to be even thinking that Jesus would do this for me? Like, his friends believed something for him and they acted on it.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought of a crazy example of this. So this is probably 20 years ago, I got hit by a horse and it broke the bone above my teeth. And it like gave me a root canal of those roots there, but my teeth, the front teeth, were hurting. And I had mentioned this to a friend at church. When they asked for prayer requests, she stood up and she said, if y'all would pray for Mia's teeth, they're really hurting. She got hit with a horse. And I was just like, for the love, I would have said that if I wanted it said. You know, let's go an unspoken prayer or something. The next morning, I woke up with no pain in my teeth.
Hmm.
On my own, I'd have been laying on my mat, crippled. I'm going to keep this quiet. But she made the show, to your point, Jen, drug me out in front of all those people. And fixed my teeth with the Lord.
Just so I'm clear, we're still talking about purpose, walking out of purpose.
Yes.
I was like, I've been having Wi-Fi issues, so I'm like, did I get lost? I just to make sure I'm still here.
Oh, you know, that's what I love about the Lord saying, you know, just pick up your mat, because I can go down all the rabbit holes all the time. And he's just like, just pick up your mat and walk.
Before I lose Wi-Fi again, I will say, when I was thinking about practice and purpose, what I was thinking about is comparison and how it's so easy to compare what your practice looks like. But everybody is different in yoga practice, right? Like, there is somebody in your class who's definitely more advanced than you and somebody in your class who definitely is a beginner. It's just bound to happen. And yoga and this idea of like walking out your practice and your purpose, it felt like that scripture where it talks about like how the body is made of many parts and every part is necessary. And we often can compare or judge ourselves because we're like, I'm the right foot's big toe. I don't have anything to give. But if your right foot didn't have a big toe, you wouldn't be able to balance and you'd fall over and that would just be not fun. So even the right foot's big toe is critically important. And I think that when it comes to walking out our purpose and our practice, it's essential that we remember in that scripture, it says, I'm going to just click. I hope you can still see me, but I'm clicking off to my notes. It's in 1 Corinthians 12 and in verses 12 through 27. And in verse 18, it says, God has put each part just where he wants it. And I really, really love that. That he will put us just where he wants us.
I love the purpose in the practice, because I think that a lot of times we can find our purpose in our practice, through our practice. whether that's a yoga practice or just a practice of meeting with the Lord, like while we grind up coffee beans in the morning, right? Like whatever those daily practices look like, so often is where we find our purpose in life. Who are we and what are we here for?
If I may, because I know you're referencing the guy who gets lowered through the roof, and I was referencing the man who's by the pool of Bethesda.
Both. Yeah.
But as you were speaking, though, I was thinking about, Jen, you so eloquently earlier spoke of your experience with meeting Jesus on the mat. And when I was thinking back to the man by the pool, and Mia, you said, like, did this guy even did he even ask to be lowered through, you know, the ceiling of this house, whatever. And this man that was laying by the pool wasn't like, hey, let me just dial up Jesus real quick and see if he's going to like stop by on his tour or whatever. Like, let me see if I can call Paul. Like, he doesn't know anybody who knows Jesus. You know what I'm saying? And yet Jesus came to him on his mat, and he never like asked for it, didn't anticipate it, whatever. And that was very much my experience of Jesus coming to me on my yoga mat, uninvited, and just absolutely changing my life. And I think that there's so many times he wants to show up to our mats when we least expect it. Mm-hmm. But I think then the requirement of us is to be willing to like look up in his face and to like grab his hand and get off that mat. And it's just, Jen, you, when you were telling the story, I don't even think you realized you were saying it, but you were talking about how the purpose of like taking up your mat is these practices and these things we do on our mat. And I'm speaking very literally now. Like when I teach meditation, I always say like, your practice isn't meant to stay on your cushion. Your practice in holy yoga, in Christ-centered yoga, these moments of encounter, they are not meant to stay on your mat. They're meant to be taken out into your life. And the more you do them, I was just talking about this today, of like the more you practice something, the more it becomes a part of your life. And your practice is then living. It's not just the 25 minutes, hour, 90 minutes, whatever that you spend on your mat. It's every moment of your day becomes a practice. And then that becomes your purpose, is living that out. And it's like this enmeshment cyclical thing that almost like you can't really pull apart.
And I think this is just part of our culture, but purpose and practice also makes me think of gifting and calling. You know, that learning what your purpose is, it may not be what you're gifted. I mean, where the Lord, I mean, this is just basic to our culture, that just because I'm good at something doesn't mean it's going to be involved with my purpose. That sometimes he reveals our purpose and it's not at all what we expected it to be. And then the dependence on him again. Are you going to say yes to your purpose? Are you going to get up and walk out that purpose, even though you're on wobbly legs, even though, you know, your muscles have atrophied? Are you going to believe me that I can carry you through this, that you're going to serve my purpose on those rickety limbs? Or are you going to lay here?
So what, just in kind of wrapping us up, like what does will this podcast actually look like, and who is it for? While we welcome anybody and everybody to be a part of this community and join us in the discussion and listening in, the idea behind this podcast is really to support and equip the Christ-centered yogi or someone who is perhaps new to yoga, new to Christ, and just kind of trying to explore, like, what does this even look like? So we have two pillars here that you'll hear us talking about. The first is walking out our purpose. And that really will look like moving through scripture. What is the Lord teaching us on our mat? Why does it matter? What props are we taking off our mat? Things like that. And then the second pillar is walking out our practice. This would apply a little bit more so to the yoga instructor or the yoga practitioner. And we would talk about things like, what are you bringing to your mat? How's your heart? What challenges do you face as a Christ-centered yoga instructor or yogi? What questions can we answer about those things? And then we'll wrap up each episode with a few props, thanks to Mia's creativity there, that you can take with you as you roll up your mat with us. These props will be action items that you can apply in real life, challenges to help you, to help us walk out our purpose and practice together. We'll just go around and say what our props are. So I will start. My prop would be that you would show up to your practice this week, whatever that looks like, as yourself. Simply and honestly as you can manage, with vulnerability, just show up.
My prop is to check on your friends. And when you ask, how are you? Do not accept good and fine. And if you see them in person, have them look you in the eye and ask as many times as it takes to get a real answer.
Actually, riffing off of you, Jen, as far as to be a receiver. When somebody offers to do something for you and your reflex is to say, oh, I'm good, to not say, oh, I'm good, to actually just say thank you and receive it.
I think my prop this week would be to have that posture that you talked about, Mia, towards a friend, toward Jesus. And if he's offering you a hand, if he's inviting you to something, get curious. And rather than afraid, or rather than saying no, or rather than believing the old story, get curious and see if you can move even 1% towards what he's inviting you to this week. And that could be literally stepping, like standing up. You know, metaphorically speaking. Love y'all.
Sure, I'm glad somebody brought Jesus into
the four of us are your core team, but we have some pretty amazing guests and leaders and stories lined up to share with you guys that we're really excited. So we won't be the only faces that you see or voices that you hear. And really, our prayer and intention for this podcast is to be a podcast community that helps each other live out the gospel on and off our mats. We are just ordinary people who love Jesus and who have been transformed by how he's met us and continues to meet us through the Christ-centered yoga practice. So whether you're rolling up a brand new mat for the very first time, or one that has seen 1,000 practices, or even if all you have is a tattered old towel to pick up off the ground, we invite you to join the conversation, be a part of what we're doing here. And we can't wait to see what God has in store for us as we take up our mats and follow him together.
Amen.
That was so well said.
So good. I know. You think she's good at
job.
Okay, you pray for us, Mia.
Oh, Father God, we love you. We are so grateful that we have these friends right here that carry our mat. Our wish, our hope is for those listening, recognize those that are willing to carry their mat and that they take up somebody else's mat to help them. We love you. We love this opportunity. And just thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So, hey, thank you for being with us today. We're so glad that you joined us. Give us a follow on Instagram. It's TUYM podcast. So Take Up Your Mat podcast. We don't make you type out all the letters. You're welcome. You can also subscribe on YouTube or wherever you love to listen to podcasts.
And music.
Dun, 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 dun,
dun, we have Kelsey. Dun, 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 dun. We have Kelsey. I've been here the whole time. I can hear y'all.